The bit that set it all going, and we'd been doing bits and pieces for it called these Nothing at the beginning.
Yeah.
And by the time it came Son of Nothing and the Return of the Son of Nothing, it had a name, so we couldn't change it, but we were getting keen on it by that point.
But it had a name. What was its name?
Nothing.
Oh, see, that was...
And then Son was the name. And then Son of Nothing, then the Return of the Son.
Return of the Son of Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it started actually taking shape was when Rick played the piano through a Leslie in number 3 at Abbey Road.
And that's quite a story because we said, let's try and get the piano going through a Leslie. And of course, all the engineers and EMI said, not possible, we can't do it. We'll build something so we can do it. I mean, they had the boffins upstairs and actually built this box.
And those boxes you get with Hammonds these days, with Leslies, they didn't exist.
Yeah, they plugged
directly to a Leslie, to a Hammond.
So how did it start?
So when they set it all up, I went, ooh, let's see what it's like.
Ding, ding.
And everyone said, yeah.
And that started feeding back. It was right on the edge of feeding back. So when it went ping, went on far too long.
Rick and then I doodled around.
And then he thought, that one note really pinged. I must try it again.
One note.
It really does.
Yeah. Hey,
well, really try again.
Now I thought, what's this note sound like here? And that's how it started.
And the results of what was known as Nothing, and later Return of Son of Nothing, would be the single piece that made up the whole of the second side of the original Medal album. That's Echoes. And Steve, we have that very track.
Well, this is very interesting because the original album was ultimately recorded on 16-track, and that 16-track can't be used at the moment because it's in a very, very poor state because of the way it was stored. However, when I went to Abbey Road, I made what I think is a more fascinating discovery. In conversation with John Leckie, he told me that the original multi-tracks were in fact on 8-track. Those tapes still exist. So what we have here is the original 8-track recordings, and in some cases they are the original sections of Nothing and ultimately Son of Nothing. But it reveals a very interesting insight into the way they developed both as musicians and as record producers, because there are some sections that are sonically very, very beautiful, but don't yet form the finished song. Now, the first section that I discovered that I think is very interesting on the track Echoes is Rick Wright's piano sound. Now, this was developed almost by accident. So let's hear the story from David Gilmour first of all.
That started out with just mucking about. We really weren't intending for that to happen. And Rick was playing the piano, and we thought we'd try it through a Leslie. And we just had, I think it was a Shure mic or something, above the piano, and that was going to a Leslie. And that was the Leslie was in the same room, and Rick was just playing it and plonking away. And every time he hit that note, whatever it is, C-sharp or something, it was on the verge of feeding back, so it sort of really pinged longer, and he sort of got fascinated by the sound of this one note pinging and kept going back to it. That is the beginning of Echoes. It edits on one of the chord changes where we went back to it later and tried to recreate the sound. Impossible, of course. You do everything exactly the same. You put the same mic above the same piano in the same part of the room with the same Leslie, and you try to get it exactly... You know, the same frequency just refuses to resonate the same way. And so we did do it. Added the rest of the piano part later, but it was very hard. And at the time, I could really hear the edit, and it really was offensive, you know, that you could hear the difference between the first bit and where the edit went to the second bit. But now I don't really notice.
So as David mentions, there's a resonant sound in the room. Now, this is actually on two tracks. One track is the dry piano, and the other track is the Leslie affected piano. But because the two things were in the same room, there's the moment of feedback is what's creating the sound. So first of all, here's the clean piano sound. Just on its own, the sound of the piano through the Leslie. But the key is when you combine them together.
And is that the sound that makes the final track?
It is indeed. This little section was then edited onto the front of what became the rest of the tape. But it's the two sounds together and that strange room resonance that creates an absolutely incredibly iconic sound. And yet the moment you now hear that single note, you absolutely know it's that track.
One piano part is taking up two of the eight tracks.
Yes, two of the very valuable eight tracks.
That's very luxurious.
Well, it's important to have that control. And all along, I think the plan was to transfer this to 16 track, giving them eight additional tracks. The next thing I'd like to highlight on the main section that I've got is what is actually the backing track of the main piece of Echoes. So let's solo Nick's drums first of all. Now, these are recorded on two tracks.
They're quite dry, aren't they? They're just as recorded.
They're as recorded, and this fabulous drum sound, which became part of Nick's trademark drum sound, was recorded using multiple microphones. So unlike the previous four track that we played earlier, the bass is now on a separate track. So we have drums on stereo, two tracks, and bass on one, that's three. We also know we have the two pianos. And here's some other things. Here's David's guitar track. There's also an additional guitar and an additional organ that creates the full eight tracks all used up.
But there sounds on the final record that there's more than eight tracks of stuff going on there.
Well, the next stage was to then dub these eight tracks across to 16 track, and in fact that's why they had to go to Air Studios, because Abbey Road didn't have a 16 track machine.
Okay.
But prior to going to Abbey Road, and this is confirmed by my conversation with John Leckie and also looking at John Leckie's original session notes, they tried out some vocals. Now this is very interesting. These are on a separate reel of tape. So this is a backing track mix, i.e. those eight tracks mixed down to just a stereo pair, leaving six empty tracks for some vocal experimentation. And this is most exciting because I don't think this has ever been played before. This is vocals through the Leslie. They were absolutely obsessed with the sound of Leslie at this point, and they put their vocals through it.
Two planets meeting face to face, one to the other cried, how sweet if endlessly.
Albatross upon the air.
Overhead the albatross hangs motionless upon the air, and deep beneath the rolling waves in labyrinths of coral caves, the echo of a distant time comes willowing across the sand. And everything is green and submarine.
I went out in one place, didn't I?
We'll listen to it. We'll just check it out.
I think the good times are passing by. They're carrying on, and they will continue to carry on, I suspect. I don't think rock and roll's dead, no.
Time comes willowing across the sand, And everything is green and submarine.
I think we're ever so progressive. We evolve ever such a lot between every record.
We have a very recognisable... Right, anyone who listens to us will know it's the Floyd.